Let us turn to Proverbs chapter 18, and this afternoon we want to look at verse 10. And in this chapter 18 of Proverbs, we have before us Solomon giving us in one of this theme or subject of this whole chapter. Of course, he has other subject in mind, but in one of his theme of chapter 18, he provides us a very striking contrast or comparison between trusting in God and trusting in our own wealth or our own strength, as you see in verse 10. And 11, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is saved. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall in his own conceit. And so, wherever you place your security and safety, spiritually speaking, wherever you place it, it has eternal consequences. We reap what we sow, as we have discussed this before. So to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is certain, is sure, is safe. It is a place of safety forever. To trust in one's own resources is nothing more than a delusion, which also this teaching of foolishness in trusting our own resources is foolishness, is also found in the Psalm 49, for example, and also in the New Testament, Matthew 6, verses 19 to 24. So the object of faith is always, or rather the object of faith always determines the value of faith. And the only infinitely valuable object is the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith or trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is foremost. And so, for our encouragement and spiritual edification, let us meditate on this subject. And in preparing this sermon, I thought this would be good for us to meditate on this subject, the refuge of the Christian. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is saved. And so we understand from Scripture, when we read such terms or this kind of a statement in Scripture, when a preacher or a minister mentioned, or a Christian mentioned that, or even in our prayer we pray, that we glorify the name of the Lord. By the name of God, it means the character of God. The character of the Most High God, who is our God, who is our Savior. So when we use such things or such word by the name of God or the name of God, we are referring to the character of God. So our first lesson here from this text, verse 10, is the character of God affords believers with an abundant security. The character of God affords believers with an abundant security. You see, the character of God is the refuge of the Christian. And this is in contrast, or rather in opposition to other refuges which the non-believers or the unbelievers have chosen. For us, as believers, as Christian believers, we have chosen, or we trust in the Lord as our, or trust in the character of God as our refuge. Not as Solomon said, not like the rich man who put his trust in his wealth, which is actually out of his own conceit or pride. So Solomon here, in verse 11, suggestively put in that verse, The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The rich man feels that his wealth may afford him comfort, and which is true. We don't deny the fact that with wealth, it can bring you a lot of comfort. For example, the rich man may be attacked in the law, and what does he do? His wealth can procure him a good and well-known advocate to defend him. And should the wealthy man be sick, and because of his wealth, sure, we do not deny that with his wealth, he can get the best doctor or the best medication to treat him. He can pay for the best physician. And should he desire the best food, you know, food prepared and cooked by the 5-star Michelin chef, sure, he can do that. And he can even have the food delivered right to his bed. And because he is wealthy and he will be served, for his wealth is his strong tower. But in contradistinction to this, the righteous man, the righteous, as you know, righteous referring to the Christian believers, the righteous man finds in his God all that the wealthy man finds in his substance, and a vast deal more. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. Lamentation 3:24. God is the believer's treasure. God is the believer's wealth. God is to us better than the love of father and mother to their children. The righteous are in the love and faithfulness of their heavenly Father. The Christian trusts not in his own name. The Christian trusts not in his own character, but trusts in the name of God. But the character of the Most High God is his or her strong tower. Blessed is he, blessed is she, who leaves the sand for the rock, the imagination for the substance. Next, the name of the Lord is a strong tower to the Christian as a matter of fact and reality. It is a fact and reality. Even when we as Christians are not able to perceive it by experience, yet God's character is the refuge to the saints, is the refuge to those who trust in him. If we search the scripture, if we study the word of God carefully, from pages to pages, you will find that the basis of the Christian security lies in the character of God. Lies in the character of God. And this is so because God, our God, the God of the Bible, cannot by any means forswear himself, but must be true. And that his oath to us becomes of value to you and to me who are in Christ. Brethren, after all, let us not forget. Let us remember that the purpose of God in our salvation, the purpose of God in saving us and giving us eternal life, is the glorifying of his own holy character. And it is in glorifying God, it is in glorifying him, that makes our salvation positively sure. If everyone that trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ be not saved, not born again, not regenerate by the Holy Spirit, then God is dishonored. And if in the face of the whole earth, God accomplishes not that which he declared, God accomplishes not that which he declared in his word, then God's character is stained. Or we can say God's character, or God himself, is false. God's wisdom, God's truth, God's mercy, God's justice, God's power, eternity and immutability are the seven pillars of the house of sure salvation. If we would have comfort, we can surely find in the character of our God. He is our strong tower. We run into it and we are safe. So brethren, turn not to anywhere else. Turn not to anyone else. Turn not even to the minister. Turn not even to the elder or deacon of the church. Turn to no one. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Him. He is your sure tower. He is your stronghold. Only in Him you can fully trust. Please note also here from this text that the name of the Lord is a strong tower to a Christian is not only as a matter of fact, but it is true as a matter of experience. And those of you who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure you have that experience. I'm sure you have tasted how good or the goodness of God to you as a strong tower, particularly in your times of difficulties, particularly in the times of affliction, in the times when you are being maligned or wrongly accused or misunderstood, or perhaps even being oppressed by the unbelievers, by unreasonable people. You have indeed that experience. We all have known trials as Christians. We are not spared from it. The trials of life, of all kinds. Sickness, you know, financial difficulties or whatever that comes our way. And we thank God we have that. It is God designed for us to go through some of these trials of life for our good. For what would any of us be worth if we have no troubles? Because troubles are designed of God like metal files. You know, have you used a metal file before to file something that is rough, and to remove off rust, to remove off the sharp edges on a piece of metal perhaps, or even on a piece of wood, we use a metal file to file off this rough edges. So it is for us. Troubles that God sent to us are like metal files. Take away our rust. Like furnaces, they consume our dross. Like winnowing fans, they drive away the chaff. And we should have had but little usefulness if we have not been passed or made to pass through the furnace or the furnace of sanctification. But in all our troubles, what do we find? Can you recall? And let us recall often those times of trial. At the end of it, when you come to the end of the tunnel to see light, you prove God's character. You found the character of God a comfort. He is truly your deliverer. So some of you have been out for work for a long time and you have wondered, perhaps you are troubled. Some who have been affected particularly, for example, this pandemic, and you are out of job. Others, well, according to report, I'm not surprised, it is either on the way or soon. Recession is coming to this country, and perhaps some of you may be out of job. And so perhaps you may have experienced that also. When will your next meal come? Or where would it come? And so what will be your comfort? For some of you who have went through that, is it not true that your conclusion is God is too good to let you starve? He is too bountiful to leave me to poverty. And so you see, you have found God's character to be a strong tower. You know, brethren, there is no need for me to further give you example or to describe the various ways in which your trials come. Some of you have more than what I can take. But I'm sure you know Jehovah's name. The name you put your trust in. And perhaps your trials has been of deprivation, perhaps, or sickness. And if your trial has been of deprivation, what is your comfort? Remember the name of God. He is Jehovah Jireh. I will provide, or the Lord will provide. Or you have been disappointed. You are disappointed with your friends who turn away from you, especially in times of need. And there are others, of course, who have been banished from countries because of political unrest. And so for those Christians who go through that experience, what is the name of God to you? Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Or you have disturbance, troubles in the family, and there has been war, argument, fight within and without, and so you have run into a strong, or your strong tower as Christian, and you have said his name is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord send peace. Or perhaps again, and I'm sure some of you, especially if you have been out to work, the world has slandered you, the world has accused you, the world has mocked you, or you yourself has been conscious of your sin, but you say what? His name is Jehovah Sikinu, the Lord our righteousness. And so you have gone there, you have been there, you have been saved, you run into that stronghold, because the Lord is your righteousness. And many of us as Christians, as what the Lord Jesus has already taught us, we have many enemies. Enemies without, enemies within, temptation within our hearts, old corruption. And so we have another name of God, another character of God to encourage us, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. And so God has been a stronghold to you, to me, in so many ways, as He allowed many of these trials. Now, beside the trials of this life, and then we have, I mentioned just now, the sin of the flesh, the old corruption in us. We have this struggle, this spiritual battle that we have to fight each day. But then again, the name of our God is our stronghold, our strong tower. So readily and so easily we Christians fall into sin and temptation, and oftentimes we just want to give up. That it is so hard being a Christian, as we considered this subject before, isn't it? That it is, the righteous is scarcely saved, meaning to say it will be a hard, a weary journey, uphill journey for the Christian to arrive in on the other side of the heavenly shore. And so therefore, it is tough. And we face that. But and again, we turn to our God, who comes to our defense. And He says to us, He is merciful. And we know He is merciful. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews 8:12. Yes, in the person of Christ, in the person of Christ, if you have Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, as your righteousness, then we even dare to look at God's or God's justice with confidence, since He says or promised He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. So those in Christ, we are able and we shall overcome through the blood of the Lamb. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:4. Therefore, brethren, I hope you can see once again, and I hope this brief meditation on this text will help you to reflect and recall that we have everything that we needed for our spiritual life. We have everything that we need for our pilgrim journey here. Though tough, though hard, though uphill, though we fall, yet remember the name of our God is our stronghold. Now I proceed to the second lesson, and which is the believers or the righteous avail themselves of this strong tower. The believers or the Christians avail themselves of this strong tower. And how did the Christians avail themselves of this strong tower? We read here, Solomon wrote, "The righteous runneth into it and is saved." So how did the Christians avail themselves of this strong tower? Brethren, you have to run into it. And now in this context, it seems to me, first of all, we notice from this second part of the text, the righteous runneth into it. Seems to me, it implies that they do not stop to make any preparation. They immediately run to it. There is no need for you to think, should I do this or that? What should I do? You immediately run into it when the enemies come after you. And you will remember what our Lord Jesus says to his disciples. When during those times, the Romans surrounded Jerusalem, what did Jesus, what was Jesus' instruction to the disciples? That those who were on the housetop was not to come down into his house, but to run down by the other side of the staircase and escape. And so it is for the Christian. When you are attacked by your spiritual enemies, when you face your foe, when they come with great force, you do not and should not stop for anything. Don't go and run back like what Lot's wife looking back, but you look ahead and you run straight immediately into the Lord Jesus Christ. Run, just run into your God and you shall be saved. This running also appears to me to imply that beside not making any preparation, they have nothing to carry. Isn't it not true? You look at all those professional runners or the athletes, when they run, do they carry a lot of things and nothing? They carry nothing, just whatever they wear, and they just look ahead and they run towards the finishing line. And so it is for us also, the righteous who have thrown off everything, leave their sins to God's mercy, and they run into the Lord Jesus. That's what you and I must do. That's what you and I must do. Run into the Lord Jesus. Don't carry anything. Drop it off. I think it was my elder brother who sent me a maxim by C.H. Spurgeon. Something like that. I cannot remember exactly. We are to take hold of earthly things in our hand loosely, but make sure that we grip hard and firmly grip the things that are eternal. And I think that is a very good quote, a good principle for us. We must learn. I don't know whether it's right to say that, you know, the Chinese have this to say, or the Cantonese. We must learn how to let go. Ling the hei fong the tai, you know what I mean? But maybe it's not so biblically sound. But what I'm trying to say is, like what Spurgeon say, we must throw off anything that will hinder our running to the Lord Jesus and run to him. And then moreover, this expression, righteous runneth into it, also, besides not carrying anything, no preparation or lack of preparation, it imports that fear. Fear has quickened them. Fear has hastened their running. And so it is good to have fear. You know, there are people who think that, fear is a weakness. But it all depends on what fear. If the fear comes to us and drives us to the Lord Jesus, that is a good fear. And we must have that fear. We must have that fear. If we lose that fear, we are finished. The fear of God, the fear of the law, if we have no fear and no regard, whether for the law of God or the law of the land, we are finished. This, we will go wild. So, we see in the Old Testament, what when the adventure of death is close behind, what happened to the person? He must run quickly into the village of refuge, which God has instructed Moses to set up all over the land. And so you see how marvelous godly fear helps us in our faith. And then, beside that, we see this eagerness also in the Christian who run into it, run into God and be saved. There is this eagerness. He runs and he did not stop, but he continued to run until he reaches inside. Then he is saved. So listen to what the psalmist says to us. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Psalm 42 verse 1 to 2. And therefore, Christians, brethren, let the Christian fly. Fly to his dear God for safety. When the hounds of hell, when the dogs of temptation are let loose against you, oh, brethren, do not delay. Do not hesitate. Do not take your time, your own sweet time. But quickly run to the Lord Jesus. Do not think that you are able and you have the strength to withstand the wiles of the evil one. You have no match with him. Just as Jesus said to Peter, Satan sieve you like wheat. And same for us. And allow me to add one more point. There seems to be in this running, again, an absence of all hesitation. He runs for the righteous. The moment their troubles come, they run at once to God. For they feel that they had the full permission. Indeed, we have the full liberty as a child of God. Just like a child will run to father and mother when they face trouble. So it is for us who are bought by the blood of Christ. We have this full permission, full liberty to run to him, and then we shall be saved. We glean also from the text beside, so far we have gleaned eagerness, absence of all hesitation, there is fear, and there is one more. There is courage in the Christian. Courage in the Christian. There is no preparation. There is no flinging aside every burden. The righteous runneth into this high tower and is saved. However, I want to make a qualification here or to clarify this teaching of Solomon to run to the Lord, who is our strong tower, and be saved. Let us not think that the Christian is saved because of his running. No, it is Christ that saved you. The Christian or this person who run into that strong tower, it is not his running that makes him saved. It is when he enters into this strong tower. It is the strong tower that kept him or her safe when he or she runs into it. So it is not your running. It is not what you do. It is Jesus who saved you. You are saved because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your safety does not lie in how you run or how you came. For in every truth, your safety is in Christ. It is most true that salvation is of the Lord, and whosoever shall look to Christ only shall find him to be a strong tower, and he or she may run into his Lord and be saved. And so finally, brethren, remember, whatever trials that come to your life, at whatever stage, whatever your difficulties, remember the name of your God, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember who he is. Remember he is Jehovah, and you can add to it the whole list. What I have given to you just now is a very brief list. The last time, I think, when I was here many years back, we did a series of study on the name of God, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Kisinu, and all that. And I think if you want one that has all that, I can email it to you. I think Carol has a whole list that she make into a bookmark, and so that you can refer to it. And then after that, with that, you can turn to Scripture to see the name of God and what it means. But I want to just end with this to encourage you. Remember, not only we learn of the character of God in the Old Testament, but we learn one very important truth for the Christian, very comforting. Romans 8:35, it begins there. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, verse 36, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, beloved, whatever your trials may be, whatever your adversities, whoever may be your enemies, I say to you again, the door is open. Run to the mercy of God in Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen.